I'm going to be speaking today from the reading from 1 John. You may want to have your Bibles open on 1:2-6. Today I'm going to speak about truth. And I need to start at a slight kind of, not really a tangent, but I need to start in one place, and I'll gradually work our way over to the Bible reading, but I must set the background, set the picture for this speech. I want us to help ask some key questions, and really it's a one-point sermon, but it's about accepting the truth about Jesus. But I'd like you first to turn to your neighbour and tell them one thing that you know is true. And how do you know it's true? Okay? One thing that you know is true, and how do you know it's true? Okay, that sounds like you're having some good questions. We're just struggling with that, Mike, but I can repeat what you have to say. Anyone got an answer? Tell us one thing you know it's true. How do you know it's true? Anyone want to help us with that question? Sue at the back. So, tell us one thing that's true.
This is actually from both of us. We know we were married on the 3rd of August 1968 because it says...
We were there.
Hooray! Do you know, did everyone hear that? I think that's, you know what, that's irrefutably true. That's good. Anyone else know something that's true and why it's true? One more person. Tell us something that's true.
I'm here because you can see me, and if I pinch myself, I can feel myself.
Oh, that is a classic old philosophical conundrum, that one is, but we'll come back to that later. One more, what's true?
I know I'm married to John because I've got a certificate to show.
Got a certificate to show. Do you know, I lost my piece of paper in my first week of marriage. That doesn't surprise people who know me. Right. Okay, so we think we know some things that are true, yeah? Okay. But there is a big idea that's been going around for, well, a number of years, and you will come across it. I'm going to start with the idea, then we'll move on to the Bible passage. And it says that truth is a bit open to question. Yeah? There's no such thing, this idea says, as absolute truth. As something that's absolutely true for everyone. I need to take us back to the cafes of Paris in the 1950s. If you can imagine something as lovely as that. You're sitting in the cafes in Paris, and you'd have come across a new generation of philosophers and writers, people whose names you may not know, people like Michel Foucault or Jacques Derrida and a whole bunch of other very clever people. And they built on a very bleak kind of philosophy from a German guy called Heidegger. You may have heard of this guy, Jean-Paul Sartre, who invented existentialism, had this idea of there was no such thing, actually, as absolute truth. They said this: you have your truth, I have my truth, and they're equally valid, whatever your truth is. They got drawn together, these ideas, in a thing called postmodernism, which you may have heard of. You'd be very familiar with the results, though. All truth, it says, is up for grabs, everything. And they said that, I think, because people lost confidence in the idea of one big story that explains everything. There are lots of small stories, a small story of your life, a story of my life, but is there one big story that explains everything? They said this: there's no such thing as absolute truth. Now, we could easily blow a great hole in this argument before we start, right? Because it is an absolute truth, isn't it, that there's no such thing as absolute truth? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? So it's a bit of a flawed argument, but it's crept through universities, it's crept through into the media. It's a big, big and powerful idea in our world that it's somehow arrogant to say there's a truth. Let's look at the Bible. 1:2-6. You see, it's a tricky idea for us because as a Christian, I believe in absolute truth. I have to believe in absolute truth. I can't believe that Jesus is 100%, not 100% true. He might be 20% true. And John begins here. He says, "Dear children, this is the last hour. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went from us, but they didn't really belong from us." In other words, what he's saying is, they've been leading you astray. They've been leading you away from the truth. And he really makes a bold statement in 20. "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." What is this truth that he's talking about? Well, you know this, but Jesus' surname was not Christ. It wasn't Jesus Christ, like Stephen. He's called Christ because Christ means the Saviour. Yeah, Jesus was the Saviour. Jesus is God. And it's a foundational truth of the Christian faith. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is the Saviour of the world. Now, this absolute truth is very, very important. Because a great deal hinges on accepting this truth. John tells us it unlocks the door to eternal life. So it's a pretty important truth to hang on to. The thing about the Christian faith, it's like no other faith anywhere, because there isn't a great big hurdle you've got to cross to get into it. You don't need to do any extensive rituals. You don't need to be a good person. You don't even need to be a holy person. What we're called to do is to accept the truth that Jesus is God. I think that's a definite challenge, you know, because we tend to think that if we're clever somehow, that's a good thing. Or if we've got money, that's a good thing. Or if we're kind, or if we're nice. But that is not the key to the beginning of the Christian journey. The beginning is in the revealed truth that Jesus is God. It's a very bold claim for truth. He was God. He lived, he died, he rose again, and he's thrillingly close. He's not a distant God in heaven. He's close. He's here today. He's in this building. He's with each and every one of us. His spirit lives in us. And in verse 28, he says, "We can be confident and not be ashamed." You see, if we don't have that sense of the truth of Christ, we're all at sea in so many different areas of our life. It isn't just a spiritual decision to believe Christ is Lord. Okay? It isn't just a question of some kind of spiritual gift. How do we know what's right and wrong if Jesus isn't Lord? How can we tell? Different societies have different views on what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. How do we know morally where we stand without Christ as Lord? How do we know what's real and what isn't real? How do we have any hope as opposed to despair without the truth that Christ is Lord? Sartre said, the only choice we have in life is to decide whether to kill ourselves or not. It's a pretty bleak view, isn't it? But God expects us only of one thing, is to accept the truth of Christ. Now, here's a question. Would God want us to accept a truth that is so unbelievable no intelligent person could actually believe it? Does he want us to believe that Christ is Lord against all the evidence? Is faith a case of leaping totally into the dark? Or is it leaping into the light? Is faith something that's perfectly respectable, intellectual thing for all of us to assent to, right? That Jesus is Lord. Now, I'm going to say it absolutely is. Not just because I've met loads of extraordinary Christians over the years who also believe. And they're not deluded or daft or on some kind of great wish fulfillment for a father figure in the sky. They're not like that. Christ has lived in them and changed their lives. I've seen it. That's one of the reasons I believe this is the truth. But John here gives us some more help. He says, see what love at the beginning, this is at the beginning of chapter 3, he has lavished upon us. I think what he's saying is this. We can know God is real, that Jesus is Lord, by just asking him and letting him speak to us in our prayer life to reassure us. He points out in 3:1, the world thinks its truth is foolishness. But God doesn't want us to believe in a foolishness. And there's loads of evidence, isn't there, that Jesus lived, that he died, that he was resurrected. Our universe, when we see the beauty of it, reassures us that God made it and it's wonderful and beautiful. So believing in Jesus is not a weak intellectual or spiritual position. Here's my final question. Why is it so important to God that we acknowledge Jesus as his son? I say this. It is not for God's benefit. God doesn't need us to acknowledge Jesus to make him feel a bit better, because he knows who Jesus is. But we need to acknowledge him for ourselves, for us, because without it, we're lost. We're like on a great sea without a compass, without the stars to guide us. When we accept the one truth that Jesus is Lord, and that was the truth of Jesus' baptism, Jesus didn't need to be baptized, he had no sin, but they were saying, Jesus is Lord. That's our reference point. Now this is a final thing. You may be saying, you know, but I've still got questions. I've still got doubts. I'm still wondering. I'm still not sure. Do you know, that's fine too. God wants us to ask questions. He wants us to explore with him the things we're not sure about. You know, this holy book is the only holy book that has every single objection to God in it. There is not a moan that you have against God that isn't already in here. There's not an objection you have against faith that is not already in here. God doesn't duck the questions of faith. He understands them. He doesn't mind if you're in that place at the moment. He just wants you to seek and search after the truth that Jesus is Lord. In the end, that's the big decision. That's the big decision we're called to make. And Jesus dignifies us, not by forcing us to take it. God's not a dictator. He doesn't say we have to believe in him, but we choose. Can you see how that dignifies people, human beings? We're not pets for God. We're not robots. We're not playthings of God. As with the Greek gods, you know, humans are playthings. We're not playthings. We are honored with the choice to make whether or not Jesus is Lord. John leaves us with a great picture that one day we'll see Jesus again in all his glory. And I can't wait for that day. I look forward to it. I want to leave you with four things you might do this week if you're seeking after the truth and want to be able to say in all certainty that this is the truth. Do you know reading is a good thing? Not just reading your Bible, which I think you should try and do every day if you can, but also Bible notes. We've actually got some on the bookstall which are for free, and we're getting some more. Why not spend the next 2 or 3 weeks every morning reading a passage of the Bible using these Bible notes and let the Bible speak to you? One of the mistakes we make with reading the Bible is that we read the Bible rather than letting the Bible read us. So sometimes we need to just there, read it, be silent, let God speak to you through the words. Spend 2 weeks. Come back and speak to me in 2 weeks' time. Come and say, I've read the Bible every day, I've done the Bible notes. How are you with the truth after that? Second thing, what about prayer? Ask God to reveal to you what he wants to. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to be with you. And if you're in a good place and you know this is true, thank him. How's this for a challenge? If you know it's the truth, why not tell someone else about it? Why not decide not to keep it to yourself this week? Someone who you love, remember, someone in your family, someone at work, someone down the road at the chip shop, wherever you are. Maybe Carluccio's, I don't know, whatever it is. Chat to someone. Tell them what you believe in. Ask them a question about themselves. Ask if they're happy. Ask what's going on in their life. Tell them what's going on in your life. Find an excuse to speak about the hope that you have, the sure and certain hope that Jesus is Lord. That's my prayer for each of us today. Let's just end in prayer. Father, I pray that you would give us the boldness to seek after the truth that you have given us. Help us to live our lives knowing that Jesus is our friend, our captain, our counselor, our king. and that all truth is revealed through him, the Son of God. Amen.